had quite an eventful day on the floor. I guess they're still having an eventful day on the House floor.
No, they're done now.
Are they done now?
I think so, yeah.
No, anyway, we have some items that were carried over from yesterday's agenda. Gary, what should we do first? We'll start off by opening a public hearing on the bill that was scheduled for a public hearing yesterday, Senate Bill 169. Council.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee.
Oh.
Senate Bill 169 relates to the duties of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training and the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. ORS 703.401 to 703.490 discusses rules relating to investigators, including licensing, conduct requirements, discipline, etc. ORS 703.480 requires the department to adopt rules to enforce these provisions and, in conjunction with the Private Security Policy Committee, to collect fees, adopt tests, formulate an ethics code, establish a website, and provide professional development opportunities. Senate Bill 169 modifies these statutes primarily by specifying that the board, rather than the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, in conjunction with the Private Security Policy Committee, shall now establish the minimum standards of fitness for investigators, collect appropriate fees, adopt a competency test, establish rules of professional conduct, specify what convictions for crimes or violations will result in suspension for investigators. DPSST, the department, rather than the board, shall then retain the authority to investigate violations, create a website, and provide for professional development of investigators. The remaining provisions of Senate Bill 169 merely apply the appropriate terminology, replacing department with board and other statutory provisions. What Senate Bill 169 actually does in sort of plain English is it addresses an inadvertent change that happened in 2005. It specifies what the board shall do and then what the department shall do. And one amendment, a dash one amendment, clarifies that the department collects fees and not the board.
Great. Okay, we have signed up Brian Henson. Thank you for coming back today. Welcome.
My name is Brian Henson. I work for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. I am the program manager for the Private Security / Investigators Program. I'm basically here today to simply ask that you support this bill, Senate Bill 169. As committee counsel brought out, we are trying to put back into statute the division, the delineation between board responsibilities and department responsibilities. They were taken out inadvertently because the prior agency and the prior board shared a common name, and that name was the Oregon Board of Investigators. So when the prior bill, House Bill 2117, was drafted, collectively, any indication of the word board became the word department, and as a result, the board processes disappeared. This is a self-imposed licensing program. The industry put it upon itself back in 1998, brought it forward to the legislature and asked that they adopt it, and the legislature did. The board and policy committee processes are the means by which the public, the constituency that this regulates, has a voice into the process. The two other small issues that are in the bill are that in putting the board back into the policy position, we are also asking that the board have the ability to set in rule what constitutes policy around denial of a certification or license. The current law simply says it's an act that constitutes unfitness. What we'd like to do is bring that in line with the current other disciplines at the department and make that specific to criminal disqualifiers, moral fitness disqualifiers, and standards of licensure. The other issue
that you'll do that by rule.
By rule, okay. Yes. The other issue that's in the bill is that the current law says that when somebody comes forward and does an allegation of noncompliance against a constituent, the department is required to follow up on that and to investigate. If it is found to be false, the current law says that the department must destroy all information in relation to that false allegation. What the department is requesting in the bill is that we still maintain the intent of that, the protection of the constituent against false allegations, but rather than destroying everything, we'd like to just make it exempt under public records law so that we can continue to have an understanding of the types of allegations that come into us and use that in our administrative functions. there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Well, Madam Chair, he was doing fine till he mentioned exempt under public records law. My eyebrows went up.
Let me ask you this. Is that under the conditional exemption or the outright exemption?
The way that it is written currently is it would simply say that when the department does an investigation into an allegation of noncompliance, the department determines that to be false. The department will then protect that the information of that allegation from public view. So basically becomes exempt under the standard public records law. So it's going to say that in protecting the constituent from somebody believing that there is something wrong that they've done because there's been a false allegation put against them, the public doesn't need to know that. Currently, we destroy it. Currently, there's no evidence of it after it's been done, because once it's found false, the law says destroy the information.
But what law? I'm not seeing a deleted part for your not destroying it anymore.
Okay. Give me just
where
one second.
Where is that?
Sorry, give me just 1 minute.
Senator Walker, can you find it?
Mm-mm.
All right, Senator Beyer, it's up to you.
Great.
Find out where they used to destroy it and no longer are. I'm not sure.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's on the first page, lines 22 through 26.
Thank you. I'll destroy it.
Okay, got it.
If I put my glasses on, probably
it shall allow.
I suppose you should start looking on the first page, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
I see. Okay. All right. So your practice in the past has been to destroy them, and so they would be exempt but available for internal use, so you could use them for statistical surveys of what kind of complaints are coming in.
That is correct, Senator Burdick. To give you an example, one of the investigations that we were asked to do this last session was an investigation based on a complaint from another investigative company that believed somebody was working outside the scope of the law without licensure. Under the current provisions of the law, an individual that is looking for lost or stolen items must be licensed under the law. The individuals coming into to the state or working within the state that are not looking for lost or stolen items, but items that are sheeted or simply left behind, do not have to be licensed. From the outside, it looks like they're looking for items that may be lost or stolen. So we get a lot of allegations of noncompliance. The reality of it is, when we go in and we look at it, they've simply been hired to find items that belong to companies that were simply left behind as their operations were transient and moved throughout the state. So what that would say is that it's a false allegation. Destroy it. What then we have the trouble of doing is knowing how much time and energy we devote to those types of issues, because everything's gone that relates to it. So what we'd like to do is continue to maintain a record to help us with administrative issues, but protect the public, which I believe is what the original statute is here for. The constituents don't want to be harmed by false allegations.
Anybody on the committee have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm. It's better than destroying
it. Yeah, it is. Okay.
Thank you. It's already protected, or it's already exempted.
But yeah,
so.
I mean, there's no better exemption than to recycle it. You do recycle, don't you?
Yes.
I didn't see that in the bill.
Through a shredder.
We need another amendment. Okay. Are there any questions on the bill or the amendment? And you talked about the amendment, the change in collect, yeah. Okay. Okay, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 169. Senator Beyer, I think we can send this along. Are you okay with that? Open work session.
Madam Chair, I would move the Dash 1 amendment to the Senate Bill 169.
Senator Beyer has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 169. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 169 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer moves Senate Bill 169 to the Senate floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Who found that section first? Was it you, Senator?
Yeah.
Okay, you'll carry the bill.
Thank you.
Okay.
Does this mean we're going to go shooting again?
Does this mean we get to go shooting again?
I think so. No, we get to do better than that, Senator Walker.
Oh.
We won't put that on the record, though.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, we will open a work session. This is yours, right? 292. We will open a work session now on Senate Bill 292. Council.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. Senate Bill 292 relates to stenographic reporting. It's under present ORS 8.340, that statute discusses court reporters. In relevant part, it says a court reporter is an officer of the court that keeps the official record or transcript of relevant proceedings. There are two acceptable methods for this recording. One is accurate notes via shorthand or by mechanical or typing device, stenograph, or the other acceptable method is audio recording. Where a court elects to record primarily via audio, present law allows any party to arrange for stenographic reporting if the party pays for it, but this option is specifically not available in Malheur, Union, and Wallawa counties. However, the audio reporting remains the official record of the proceeding. Senate Bill 292 modifies these rules. First, if all parties to the proceeding consent, the stenographic reporting becomes the official court record, but only for purposes of the transcript on appeal. For other purposes, the audio recording would be utilized. Second, Senate Bill 292 requires that any stenographic reporter have proper certification. Third, if the parties consent, they can share the costs of stenographic reporting. And finally, Malheur, Union, and Wallawa counties are no longer excluded. There are amendments to Senate Bill 292. Dash 1 amendment clarifies that stenographic reporting may be utilized in any circuit court proceeding in which the court regularly uses audio recording or video recording. The Dash 2 amendment is substantively the same as the Dash 1 amendment. The primary difference is additional grammatical clarity. The Dash 1 refers merely to, quote, the reporter must be certified, close quote. But the Dash 2 specifies, quote, a reporter providing stenographic reporting services under this paragraph shall be certified, etc., close quote. Then I have a Dash 4 amendment, which adds requirements, first, that the party arranging for stenographic reporting must provide the court with the name, address, and phone number of the reporter, and then second, that the party must pay the cost of providing copies of the transcript to the court.
Okay, and counsel, I assume the Dash 4 amendment incorporates the Dash 2 amendment, it looks like.
I believe that is.
We only have one amendment we need to pass.
Dash 4.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would just say that court reporters are like lawyers. Sometimes we want the words to be perfect. So it took four amendments to get this.
Okay, well, Senator Walker, that effort usually pays off. So
yes, it does.
We are appreciative of your efforts. And can I just get a nod of the head from Laura that the four amendment is the only one we need? Okay. All right. Well, we had a hearing on this. It's pretty straightforward. I like this bill a lot for all the reasons that were given in the hearing.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prasansky.
Since your vice chair is not here, I'll move the Dash 4s into Senate Bill 292.
Senator Prasansky has moved the Dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 292. Is there any discussion? Mm-hmm. Any objection? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 292 as amended by the Dash 4s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Prasansky has moved Senate Bill 292 as amended by the Dash 4 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Yes. I simply have to state on the record a potential conflict of interest. While I don't work in circuit court, there may be some time in my lifetime that I do, and I could benefit from this bill somehow, some way, perhaps.
Someday.
So, potential conflict of interest.
Potential conflict, so noted for the record. Any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Walker, I would normally offer this to you, but in view of your conflict, would you like me to carry this?
Well, yeah, since I might have a conflict. I have to declare a conflict on the floor, so I will do that.
Okay, I will carry this.
I think, you know, I've had this discussion before. I'm part of a larger class, so I have to, but I prefer to be safe.
No, I do the same thing as Senator Walker, and I think it's a good policy. Okay, now we will open up a work session on Senate Bill 445. Council.
Thank you, Chair Bradley. Senate Bill 445 also relates to court reporting. And again, ORS 8.340 discusses court reporters. In relevant part, court reporter is an officer of the court, keeps the official record of, or transcript of relevant proceedings. There are two acceptable methods for recording, notes via shorthand or stenograph machine or audio. The choice of which method to utilize appears to be left to the individual court. Senate Bill 445 requires the use of certified stenographic reporter for aggravated murder proceedings, and it designates such record as the official transcript. The state court administration pays the cost of this reporting. There is a -1 amendment to Senate Bill 445, which declares an emergency, and that this bill would take effect October 1st, 2007.
Okay. Senator Walker, do you have any comments on this particular bill?
There is a fiscal statement with it.
There is.
So I believe this bill needs to go to Ways and Means.
Okay.
The fiscal statement says the legislative fiscal office believes this measure warrants a subsequent referral.
But this does not have a subsequent referral right now, Council. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and is there any other comments on this before we ask for a motion from Senator Beyer?
I think the motion for the emergency clause.
We need the motion.
Yeah, I know, but I think that the amendment came as a result of conversations in committee that we weren't getting started on this soon enough. So.
Okay. I appreciate that comment, Senator Walker. Senator Beyer, have you been back long enough to move the -1 amendment, or would you like Senator Prezansky to do the honors for you?
Why don't you? Somebody else did. I'm trying to catch up, so thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Prezansky.
I move the -1s into Senate Bill 445.
Senator Prezansky has moved the -1 amendment into Senate Bill 445. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Madam Chair. I'll move Senate Bill 445 as amended by the -1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Prezansky, I'd like to request that you withdraw your motion and replace it with a motion to refer it to the President's desk with a recommendation that
we'll refer it
to the Ways and Means Committee.
Madam Chair, I withdraw my motion to move it to the floor, and instead I move that we refer Senate Bill 445 as amended by the -1s to the President's office for consideration for a referral to Ways and Means.
Senator Prezansky has moved Senate Bill 445 as amended to the President's desk with the recommendation that it receive a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Yes.
Senator Walker.
I have to state another potential conflict of interest, though I would never, ever report a murder trial. I know that, but you never know. And then I would also like to thank the parties for this bill and the last one, but I appreciate the Chief Justice testifying on this bill and putting it in his budget, and the criminal defense lawyers and the DAs all getting behind this bill and believing that this is extremely important. So I think it's appropriate to go to Ways and Means, and they can make it mesh with the court's budget.
Thank you, Senator Walker, and your potential conflict is so noted. Any other discussion?
Just for the record, I didn't say due pass, but I agree it should be with a due pass recommendation.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that, Senator Prezansky. Okay. Any other discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Okay. We're moving right along here. Senate Bill 298. Open the work session on Senate Bill 298. Council.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. Senate Bill 298 relates to driving under the influence of intoxicants law in Oregon. ORS 809.235 provides for the permanent revocation of driving privileges for certain persons convicted of DUI, short for driving under the influence of intoxicants. In relevant part, the statute applies to persons convicted of felony DUI or to persons convicted of misdemeanor DUI for a third or subsequent time. Not all DUIs involve motor vehicles. The DUI statute, ORS 813.010, prohibits, quote, driving a vehicle, close quote, while under the influence of intoxicants. Occasionally, the state prosecutes persons for operating non-motorized vehicles, such as bicycles, under the Dewey statute. I believe we had a discussion about buoys the last time we were in this committee. Or buoy, depending on the county that you practice in.
Is it a pooey or a pewy? It's hard to tell.
You say pooey? It could work either way. Senate Bill 298 provides that there is no permanent revocation of driving privileges if the third or subsequent conviction is for operating a non-motorized vehicle. And there is a Dash 1 amendment. The Dash 1 amendment makes a grammatical fix. Is one change on page 1, line 14. In addition, the substantive fix is page 1, line 17. It adds a requirement that the burden of proving that a prior Dewey conviction was committed while operating a non-motorized vehicle falls on the person and not on the state.
Okay. All right.
Madam Chair, yeah, I just wanted to, was reviewing my notes from last time we the discussion was we needed an amendment to either cover all motorized vehicles or having permanent revocation only for vehicles for which a license is required. And Senator Posonski said, well, that's not good because you'd leave out ATVs and boats. And that's what I remember from our discussion last time. So does this amendment address those questions and concerns?
That one to you.
Let me take a closer look, please. It would apply, Chair Burdick, Senator Walker, to if it's got a motor, the short answer is if it has a motor, it counts as one of the three. And I know that's not the best answer, but whether or not a license is required.
Okay. Whether or not a license is required, as long as it has a motor.
Now, if you've seen some of the accidents on rivers, I kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator Posonski, do you have any opinions on this?
I think it's okay, Madam Chair. Looking at it, we're just basically adding an additional sentence that just puts the burden on the individual who is claiming that their license shouldn't be revoked for life, basically, to have the burden to demonstrate that one of the convictions that are being used to enhance that penalty was a non-motorized vehicle. And that seems, I mean, you can do it either way. It seems to me that's appropriate. And you would think that the record in most of these cases should, in fact, reflect when the conviction itself was on a non-motorized vehicle. But I understand that in some cases it may not be in the judgment order that the court enters.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have anything to say about this? Senator Cruz, you look perplexed.
Yeah, I'm sure. I guess somebody has got two Deweys while driving a motor vehicle, and they get busted for drunk driving on a bike. They have a serious problem. And I'm just not sure that we should be saying that doesn't count, which is basically what this does.
It doesn't say it doesn't count. It just doesn't say you don't lose your license for life because you took the step of being on a non-motor vehicle, which has less risk compared to someone that's in a motor vehicle. You still are going to be held accountable for the crime itself of DUI, and that could, in fact, result in enhanced penalties. We're just separating out the driving privilege, whether or not we want to enhance. I mean, it's a policy decision.
Well, Madam Chair, and I understand that, but for somebody to be in that position, they're demonstrating a very serious pattern. And, there's a reason why we give people so many chances and then say you don't get any more chances. And I'm just not sure that I like this as public policy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, on the other hand, you're taking away a license that it pertains to a vehicle that is not involved in this particular
licensing
incident.
Process.
Yeah, because a bicycle does not require a license. Yet. BTA, are you listening?
True.
We had, Madam Chair, we did have testimony from Ann Christian from the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers and indicates that Senate Bill 298 does not change the fact that a person who rides a bicycle while under the influence of intoxicants will continue to be guilty of a DUI with all the consequences, including a one-year suspension of driving privileges for a first conviction and three-year suspension for a second or subsequent conviction within 5 years. And a person convicted of felony DUI will remain subject to the permanent revocation of driving privileges, even if one of the prior convictions that elevated the DUI offense from a misdemeanor to a felony was for operating a non-motorized vehicle under the influence. So they still get nailed.
Yes. And Madam Chair, and I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that, but I think the basic assumption here is you're convicted once, you lose your license. You're convicted twice, you lose it for a longer period of time. You're convicted the third time, you know, you haven't learned your lesson, so bye-bye. And I'm just saying at this point, you're convicted once, you lose it for a short period of time. You're convicted twice, you lose it for a longer period of time. And you haven't learned enough to not get drunk and go riding a bicycle on a public street. you know, chances are they're not going to learn. I just, you know, because at some point in time, with this behavior, they're going to get behind the wheel of a car.
Well, for the moment, they're behind the wheel of the bicycle.
I understand that. Yeah. This is preventative.
I don't see anything in my file as to objections from the district attorneys. I think
there was
neutral.
There was no testimony that I have in my file other than Ms. Christian on January 29th.
Right. Well, I'd like to go ahead and move this bill. How do you feel about it, Senator Beyer?
Falls firmly, and I don't really care if I'm not true.
I see. So do you suppose you could gin up the energy to move the dash one amendment?
Move the dash one amendment to the Senate Bill 298.
Senator Beyer has moved the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 298. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 298 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 298 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Would you call the roll?
Senator Cruz?
No.
Senator Rosofsky?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Chair Burr?
Aye. Senate Bill 298 is approved. And Senator Przanski, would you like to carry this? Okay. Now, Senate Bill 554 was on the schedule for today, and it will not be scheduled because the amendment wasn't ready. So we will move into a work session.
Can I explain a little bit what's going on?
Oh, sure.
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
First of all, let's open the work session on Senate Bill 554.
What's going on in the amendment here is the bill requires that when you file a request for public records with a state agency or a public body, that they respond back to you how they're treating the records. You know, that, for example, we have the records, but they're subject to non-disclosure while the records are becoming. One of the problems it came up about a day and a half ago from some of the state agencies. Federal law says that you can't even, in certain circumstances, acknowledge that you have the record. So, for example, an issue of abuse. And it's tied to federal money, so we spent a good part of the day before yesterday and a good part of yesterday going through three or four attempts to finally get some language, which we put together last night, that seemed to take care of the problem. 3 o'clock last night, Dave Hendricks was nice enough to find time in his agenda yesterday afternoon, put the language together, emailed it out to the parties. We're now waiting for that language to go through the back room and be printed, and hopefully we'll have the amendment by tomorrow.
Thank you for that update, Council. Just an editorial comment. It seems like it's an awfully lot more difficult to open up access under the public records than it is to close it. End of editorial comment. Close the work session on Senate Bill 554. Open a work session on Senate Bill 263. counsel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 263 comes to you at the request of the Oregon Advocacy Center. The bill has dash two amendments in front of you and requires the Department of Human Services on a quarterly basis to provide to the organization designated to protect the rights of disabled individuals in Oregon, that's the Oregon Advocacy Center, all information the department collects regarding the deaths of persons or injuries a person receives while being restrained in a facility or program. Requires the department to adopt rules relating to the reporting of deaths and injuries.
Okay, we have George and Bob Jundeff here. If we need them, we had a hearing on this before.
On January 25th, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
And my notes, I don't have a lot of notes on this, it's the written testimony, but Mr. Morris from the Mental Health Policy Manager at DHS said, we need to look at some issues. I'm assuming the Dash 2 responded to looking at those issues. And
yep.
I see heads nodding in the audience.
Why don't we invite Mr. Jundeff up just to tell us that the amendments do stay faithful to his intent in this bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Jundeff, Oregon Advocacy Center, and yes, there were concerns at DHS. We sat down and discussed those. And they were basically that, the concerns are basically that providers of service in the community not have to make additional reports beyond the reports they make already, and we're happy with that. Now, what we're looking for is information that DHS already collects. And so we were able to fashion language that would make sure that that was the extent of the information that would be reported to us. And I think all parties are happy with the Dash 2s.
Okay, and I'm seeing a massive nodding of heads in the audience on that. Thank you for putting that on the record, Mr. Jundeff. And we have a Dash 1 amendment. Is that it?
Dash two.
Dash two.
We don't know where the dash one is.
Oh, Madam Chair, Master Committee, was actually a typo on the dash one, so it won't.
Okay. It's always such a mystery what happened, you know.
I jumped
from one to the other.
We don't like loose ends on Senate Judiciary. Do we?
No.
Okay. We have a Dash 2 amendment in front of us, Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 263.
Senator Beyer has moved the Dash 2 amendment into Senate Bill 263. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 263 as amended to conform with a due path recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 263 as amended to the Senate floor with a due path recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Cruz, this is an area of your expertise, if you would like to carry this.
Okay.
Cooking ran long here. Okay, open a work session on Senate Bill 264. Council.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 264 comes to you from the Oregon Advocacy Center, and you have before you the Dash 2 amendments. Clarifies an adult as a person who is currently receiving services from a community program or facility or was previously determined eligible for services as an adult by a community program or facility. Includes in the definition of adult protective services petition for protective order. The bill defines adults for the purposes of reporting abuse. Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Okay.
We have the Dash 2 amendments, and you have Mr. Jundeff here.
Okay, Mr. Jundeff, would you like to come back and give your blessing again on this? Welcome.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Bob Jundeff from Oregon Advocacy Center, and again, on this bill, is really a matter of clarifying our language to get at the exact individuals that we were concerned were falling out of the realm of protection, and those were people who have been identified by DHS and people who provide developmental disability services as falling within the area of eligibility and giving them the ability to continue to respond to abuse complaints should those individuals be removed from services, but there's still concerns that there may be abuse or neglect going on with them. The additional thing that these amendments would do is clarify that the DHS essentially has the authority to go to probate court and seek a protective order if they feel that it's necessary for the protection of that individual. Now, that just goes to court, so there's a judge who would review all the information and make decisions as to whether there's a problem or not that requires some further looking into. That's what these amendments would achieve.
Okay, and then I'm looking for the nodding of heads in the audience. I'm seeing the nodding of heads. Thank you. Okay, we have a dash 2 amendment in front of us, Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move dash 2 amendment to the Senate Bill 264.
Senator Beyer has moved a dash 2 amendment into Senate Bill 264. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 264 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 264 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Cruz, you can carry this one too, and if you don't want to carry the next one, you're going to have to vote against it.
Incentive. I needed it.
Okay. Open a work session. Senate Bill 265.
Council. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 265 comes to you from the Oregon Advocacy Center. You have the dash 2 amendments in front of you. And basically, the department shall adopt rules to require facility or non-hospitals and providers and employ a person described in ORS 426-415 to report department each calendar year to the quarter the number of incidents involving the use of restraints or seclusion.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Walker.
My notes indicate that you were concerned about the definition of restraint and seclusion.
Son of a gun. Okay, Mr. Jundev, can we get you back here again? We have a.
Maybe why we have a dash 2 amendment.
Well, that's not a definition.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, the intent of this bill is just to have DHS collect information in an area that it already regulates, and that is in mental health environments, mental health treatment environments such as hospitals and other facilities that are authorized to restrain people physically or isolate them away from other people in the environment. In terms of DHS's regulatory authority, they do have rules that provide conditions in, under which those activities can be taken. The problem with the original bill is that it could have been read more broadly to cover facilities that are not just for mental health treatment. And so what we sought to achieve in the amendments was to make sure that make it absolutely clear that we were just dealing with mental health treatment environments for children and adults. In terms of the definition of restraint or seclusion, we refer to the regulatory power of the agency, and I think all the parties, at least, who participated in this were very clear about what those terms meant and that they referred back into the regulatory authority that's outlined in state rule.
Okay, so this is a reporting bill, and it's not at all a bill that determines how these tactics are used.
That is correct. This just requires a reporting numerical data. No client identifiable information would be transferred as a result of this bill.
Okay. Nodding of heads. Seeing nodding of heads. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jundev. We have a dash 2 amendment to 265. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move the dash 2 amendment from the Senate Bill 265.
Senator Beyer has moved the dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 265. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 265 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 265 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection, Senator Cruz?
Madam Chair, as much as I'd like to, this is a good bill.
So ordered. Okay, Senator Cruz, you got a trifecta here. Thank you. We appreciate your expertise on these issues. Now, for some reason, I have this bill.
Yeah, for some reason, I have this bill, too, and it's not on my agenda. House Bill 2121.
Well, it's on the second page of the agenda.
It's on the back page.
I don't have a back page.
Yeah.
There was a second page.
Look at the bottom of the front page, because it's one of two.
Is this mine?
No.
Well, that's yours?
Yeah.
That's the...
Madam Chair, I know what's on the agenda outside.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't get a backside.
Yeah, kind of a surprise to me, Council. Maybe you could...
Sure, Madam Chair. This bill's been before us
What are we doing on
couple
this? What does it say that we're supposed to do on this bill?
Work session.
Okay, we will open a work session on House Bill 2121.
No, that's okay.
Okay. There's one on...
Oh, got it. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I guess it's an attempt to save paper. We copy sometimes in the back, and maybe sometimes it doesn't...
We'll alert our staff to make sure they read the front and the back.
Okay.
Well, it wouldn't help on this one.
I know, because I have the same thing. Mine's empty, too. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2121A comes to you from the Department of Justice and Office of Regulatory Streamlining of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. It allows an agency to give notice of rulemaking by reference to a website unless the person entitled to notice requests a paper copy at the time of the mailing. It allows the agency to change incorrect references to other rules or to correct addresses and telephone numbers without having to give notice of proposed rule change. Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have the -A3 amendments in front of you, and basically what they do requires that any notice that refers to a website must also explain how the person receiving the notice may obtain paper copies of the proposed rules. Requires the person who has provided a mailing address for the purpose of receiving notice of proposed rules must also state whether the notice referring to person to a website is acceptable. And you
now
have Renelle Schenkel in the audience here and other people from the Department of Justice who can explain it.
Okay, I think we'll start. These amendments, I believe, were drafted in response to Senator Byers' concerns.
That's correct,
about
Madam Chairman.
Not everybody being wired up.
We had a long discussion in committee over this.
Long discussion.
Madam
Senator
Chair,
Byer.
I'd like to point out for the record, I believe the amendments that were left at the dais only have the first page also, because it is a two-page amendment. So just for your information, you...
This is a fascinating file.
I think we're going to close the work session on this bill.
I do have the
you full... Have you reviewed these amendments?
I do have the amendments that have both pages, and I have been assured these amendments do what we asked them to do. Not being a lawyer, I'm going to take their word for it to say that we sent down a request to legislative council to do this. It took them two tries, and... I think this does what we want it to do, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I think all of our offices yesterday probably got copies from DOJ delivered. I know I had one with the note on mine as well that said that this was to accomplish what we requested.
Okay. Well, it didn't make it in my file.
So, Madam Chair, if you're willing to move forward on the bill, I would make a motion.
Senator Byer, I'm going to place my trust in you on this one.
It's well placed, Madam Chair.
That's what they always say.
I move the -A3 amendments into House Bill 2121.
Senator Byer has moved the -A3 amendment to House Bill 2121. Any discussion?
Just to say that the intent of these amendments are so that if a person is currently receiving a hard copy, paper copy of proposed rulemaking and the proposed rules, that with these amendments, that person is not supposed to have to do anything, and they will continue to get what they currently get. If they wish to make changes, this allows them to make changes to the electronic versions.
Okay, Senator Byer, thank you for that explanation. Any other discussion?
Well, I remember reading these now. I remember reading these yesterday afternoon, and I just didn't get in my bill file after I read them, but I was okay with them.
Okay, I appreciate that. Any objection? So, order. Guess who's carrying this bill?
You've got to move the bill now.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2121 to the floor with as amended by the A3s.
Senator Byer has moved House Bill 2121 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So, order.
Guess I'm carrying it.
Oh, you're Senator Byer. I gave you warning. Okay, any other business before the committee? Good work. We broke our all-time record, I think. We're adjourned.
Sorry about the copy.
Yeah, zooks.
Well,